And now, the Star Spangled Banner, starring Johnny Mack Brown. From Hollywood, the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force bring you a story of our national anthem and the man who wrote it, Francis Scott Key. This transcribed feature is another in the series of The Voice of the Army. Our story takes place during the War of 1812. It is almost 2.5 years later, when the enemy was marching on our capital, that a small social gathering was taking place in the home of a well-known Georgetown lawyer, Francis Scott Key, that preceded an unforeseen incident of great importance to the entire nation.
Francis, Judge Nicholson is leaving now. He'd like to speak with you in the hall before he goes.
Certainly, Polly, dear. I'll join him at once. Excuse me, gentlemen.
Yes, of course, of course.
Leaving so soon, Judge? The party's hardly over yet.
I have some important matters to attend to before I retire, Francis, but I wanted to talk to you privately before I left.
What is it, Judge?
Well, I'm worried about Polly. She doesn't seem to be herself these days. Oh, I know things are bad, what with the fighting and danger getting closer every day, but... Well, I wish you'd have a talk with her and try to convince her it would be better if she took the children and went to Frederick with your parents. They'd all be much safer there.
I've tried to get her to leave, Judge, but she won't go unless I do. She tells me if Dolly Madison could stay on at the President's palace until he returns safe and sound, it is her duty to remain with me here.
I know, and a loyal woman she is. But you must realize, as she should too, that you are all in danger here right now. Think of the children, Francis. As a member of the family, I feel quite strongly about what happens to any of you. After all, my wife and Polly are sisters. And I think you should do something about it without further delay.
I'll do the best I can, Judge. But you know, Polly has a mind of her own.
Well, what woman doesn't? And I must be on my way, and good night, Francis. And remember what I've said.
Good night, Judge.
Ah, there you are, Francis. This is a lovely party. It's good to know there's still some warmth and gaiety left in this war-torn country.
That's just what I've been saying all along. There is no need for our country to be war-torn. If we only did more to stop the enemy, why, what in heaven's name is going on in the minds of our government in these crucial times?
Mr. Key, that hardly seems to be the proper way for a man in your position to speak. Why are you not in yourself in uniform?
Sir, I long since volunteered my services to the Georgetown Light Artillery. I was accepted with the rank of lieutenant and quartermaster. After accomplishing all I could, I was discharged from further attendance. I am as patriotic as you, sir, but I strongly feel that we lack something which we need to bind us together, something to give us more courage to surge onward to victory. Why, the country is like a puzzle that has not yet been put together.
We are doing everything we can, Mr. Key. Now, if you'll excuse us, my wife and I must leave. Good night, sir.
Francis, I wish you wouldn't speak so in front of the soldiers. They resent your attitude, and it's making everyone here most uncomfortable.
Polly, I have the privilege of speaking as I please in my own home.
Francis, what is the matter with you? I don't understand you. You're not yourself at all lately. I'm going to say goodnight to our guests.
We really had a wonderful time.
Good night, Polly.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, Francis. I'm going up to bed.
Polly, wait. I want to talk to you before you go.
Well, all right, but only for a moment.
Wait, I'll see who it is. Richard West, what is it that brings you here at this late hour?
Richard, is there anything wrong?
Francis, they've taken our good friend, Dr. Beans, prisoner.
No.
I can't believe it.
Yes. The British seized him and took him aboard the fleet.
Why, this is terrible. An old man like Dr. Baines? How could they? And for what possible reason? Is anyone doing anything to help him?
That's why I'm here. To ask you to obtain his release from the enemy.
Certainly, Richard. I'll do everything I can to help Dr. Beans. I'll call upon Mr. Madison. As the president, he should give me his sanction before I go ahead with such a mission.
Oh, good. I knew I could count on your help. Well, good night, Polly, Francis. Good night and good luck.
Good night, Richard.
Good night. Polly, I want you to take the children and go to Frederick with my parents, no later than tomorrow. I'll join you there as soon as I can.
But, Francis, I belong here with you. A wife's place is with her husband.
But you can't stay here. It's too dangerous. Don't you give any thought to the safety of our children?
Of course I do. But perhaps it will be better if we are separated for a while. A little vacation won't do either one of us any harm. I realize you've been working under a great strain, Francis. So if you want me to go, I'll go.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. I didn't mean to speak harshly. But the way the battles are going, the condition of the country, and now the news that they've taken poor Dr. Beans prisoner, well, I'm afraid my disposition is a little worse for wear. I'll miss you. But it won't be for long.
I'll pack in the morning. Perhaps it'll do us both good to be separated for a little.
We are to remain here aboard the cartel ship, Dr. Baines. There is nothing we can do but wait and hope, as the British have placed us here under Marine guard with orders not to allow us to proceed until the battle is over.
Oh, Francis, my boy, I don't know how to thank you and John Skinner here for coming to my rescue as you did. I'd just about given up all hope when you arrived aboard the Admiral's flagship. I'll never forget it, son. Never.
You're going to be all right, Doctor. Now, why don't you go below and rest?
Yes, I think I will. I feel a little ill. This life at sea is not for me.
The British are preparing to fire on Fort McHenry, Francis. I certainly hope it's well manned and well protected. This battle will be a decisive one.
It's a strong fort, John, and it won't be easily taken. Those brick walls are set in oyster shell mortar, 14 feet high and 35 feet thick.
It'll soon be dark. Oh, look, going up over the fort.
Our flag over Fort McHenry. What a beauty she is. A red, white, blue symbol of our country's fight for freedom.
Yes. There, they're commenced firing on the fort. I guess I'll be going below, Francis. You're going to stay up here on deck all night? You better get some rest. God alone knows what tomorrow may bring.
No, I'm staying here. As long as I can see our flag waving over the fort, I know we haven't lost the battle.
But it's pitch dark now. You can't see anything from here.
Ah, but the light of the rockets bursting over the fort will show me if our flag is still flying.
Well, do as you please, but I'm going below. Call me if anything happens. Good night, Francis.
Oh, if only all my people could see this great moment. Now the dawn comes up over Fort McHenry. The smoke and mist clear for a moment. In the light of a new day, our flag is still there. I have stood here all night, watching and praying, while my country fought for its beloved freedom. If there were only but some way to preserve this moment forever in the hearts of my countrymen, I'll write about it here on this piece of paper from my pocket. Yes, I'll tell them what happened this night. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free? Home of the brave.
It's good to have you home again, Francis. Everyone is talking of your mission to rescue Dr. Beans from the enemy. It was a good deed, son. Oh, by the way, I took the liberty of having that poem you wrote aboard the cartel ship during the battle printed up. I was so moved by it myself that I thought it'd be nice if everyone could read it and sing it to the tune of To Anacreon in Heaven, as you suggested.
Thank you, Judge. That was very thoughtful of you. But I'm afraid I'm not very happy with Polly away.
Oh, yes, she misses you too, no doubt. But why didn't you join her when you got back from your mission?
I'd rather not talk about it, Judge. It's just that she felt she needed a little vacation away from me.
Of course, I understand, son. Well, I've got to be on my way, but don't give up hope. Everything is going to turn out all right. You just wait and see.
Judge, I thought you'd gone. Polly, where in the world did you come from?
Francis. My husband. I've come home to be with you where I belong.
Oh, it's so good to see you again. Perhaps now things will be like old times.
Of course they will, darling. You see, as soon as I heard this area was safe, I hurried here to be in your arms. I missed you so.
Don't ever leave me, Polly. Ever.
Look, Francis, out the window. All those people on our lawn have come to serenade you with your song. They're singing the Star-Spangled Banner.
Like our great flag, the uniform of the United States Army and the United States Air Force is a badge of courage, a symbol of freedom and democracy. This fact has been true for more than 150 years. True since the first American soldier set foot beyond our borders as a representative of our country and the principles for which we stand. No other armed service holds the respect of millions everywhere as ours does. Think of this, and you'll have every reason to be proud of the men who wear the uniform of the United States Army and the United States Air Force. And let me say to you young men of America who are listening, when choosing your lifetime career, think seriously about making it an Army career. Your nearest U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force recruiting sergeant will be glad to help you make your choice today. This program was brought to you by the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force in cooperation with this station. Featured on today's show was Johnny Mack Brown as Francis Scott Key. Also included in the cast were Bonnie Lake, Byron Kane, Bill Martell, Howard McNear, and Roland Morris. Voice of the Army takes this opportunity to thank Johnny Mack Brown for his services on this program, which was written by Sergeant First Class Everett A. Day and was directed by Major Hugh K. Murray. This is Rye Billsbury speaking.
This transcribed feature has been another in the series of
The Voice of the Army.